The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Good morning, y'all. It's another beautiful morning, and I recently did a show where I was discussing silver and derivatives and all the synthetic fractional fiscal shenanigans that are going on. And very interesting, a great friend of mine called me and we were talking last night with my buddy Brad, and we were talking about this whole silver thing. We were having this conversation about, with all the financial alchemy, in addition to all the very real, in my opinion, sorcery that's involved with technology. One, I think it clearly demonstrates that the larger enemy is obviously Satan. When we see these very real, tangible things manifesting themselves in reality, but they're actually coming from the spiritual realm. And I don't get like super spooky on that and hyperbolic and make it more than what it is. But at the same time, I do recognize it, that it's happening and it's real, but we don't live in some like Christian comic book or whatever. But we were talking about, you know, silver and where it's going. And we've both been accumulators for quite a while now. And that being said, several people commented regarding silver and what was going on. This is a distraction. You need to focus on Jesus, which from that perspective, quite literally everything is a distraction. And sleeping is unnecessary. You know, you can redact that to the absurdum, you know. And there's plenty of people that do that. An enormous amount of cyber Pharisees online that love to do that. Like, they will always give you like this weird backhanded compliment. And it always demonstrates that they are spiritually better than you are. And that's incredibly common on social media. But that's an observation that I've made over almost a decade now. And it's incredibly common. And there's an enormous amount of cyber Pharisees. And the only thing worse than a cyber Pharisee is like when you meet them in real life. And then it is very much worse because it's not just contained in this artificial realm. And this is actually circling back to everything I'm talking about. I know it sounds like a rabbit trail. And this is what happens, y'all, when I don't use an outliner notes. So this is when I go extemporaneous, it gets a little wild. So to, as a courtesy to you, I try to use an outliner notes and sometimes even a script. It sounds a little bit better, but it's a little bit slower and whatnot. Getting back to the topic. So we all think or realize or know that when you've been paying attention. And when I say been paying attention, you know, my buddy Brad said this. It was right when he was out of college, when he came to the conclusion by observing the facts that the political shenanigans, like politics is a game, neither side have our best interests at heart, neither side represent us. You know, when you come to that realization, what I call my black pill, you know, on a federal level, I'm definitely black pilled. I think we can continue to just watch that. And that, of course, immediately makes some people like shriek. And even on the conservative side, most conservatives, the only thing that differentiates them from a liberal is that they usually don't have like some Kool-Aid colored hair. But other than that, they're incredibly fragile and tribal and all that stuff. So side note to that is there are things that both sides should be able to unify on things like, you know, abolish the Federal Reserve and different things like that. And it just doesn't happen. And it doesn't even, like, even in these Christian nationalist circles, like, they just want to be hyperbolic and point to kind of stupid stuff and demonize very particular people groups. And I say people groups just to trigger people. But anyway, because, you know, I'm back when, okay, I'll get back on point. I apologize. So we're talking about where silver going. And, you know, I brought up the fact that there are theories, because if you follow the fundamentals, you know, as soon as they decouple from the fundamentals, like when George Bush Jr. said we have to abandon free market principles to save the free market, and you realize once you do that, it's no longer a free market. In the exact same way as with all this bureaucratic politics and how bureaucrats and the technocrats get to arbitrarily control everything and control the money supply and control the debt ceiling. And we just had they were threatening another government shutdown, y'all. And then this bipartisan thing to spend more money. There is no hopium. Like, they're not coming to save you, and they're not even pretending. They're not even pretending anymore, which is why silver is doing what it's doing. So we were talking about where silver's going, and I mentioned this idea that the financial alchemists, there are people, and I don't want to misrepresent anybody, but I've heard people talk about this, and one podcast I listen to on occasion, very rarely, he was basically saying, you know, the financial alchemists have the ability to continue to float this thing to infinitum. And when you look at the fact that the U.S. and the American Fed and the Bank of International Settlements and all of the international money changers and China and Russia and these different factions, in order to compete financially, they're all involved in the same fiscal chicanery. And they supposedly kind of have to be to compete. Like, for example, like, and the U.S. could. The U.S. could print money, and instead of spending it on transgender ideology, they could literally just buy gold and silver, and they could buy their way completely out of even a national debt, for that example. And people will explain why they can't do that. But the same people will try to explain, you know, how all the other financial alchemy they do, like, works or whatever. But, you know, if a country truly sought some type of sovereign monetary system, they could do that. And, you know, and we are watching China and Japan accumulate more hard assets, supposedly. I mean, supposedly. We can only go by the data we're given. But at the same time, we absolutely do know that are the bad guys, you know, our enemies are financially over-leveraged with this debt-based economy and this Keynesian idea. And so we were talking about this idea that can the financial alchemist continue to float the boat? And I've heard some theories on that. And at the same time, you know, me and my friend were talking about how we've been expecting the shoe to drop for a decade. And we have these two decades. And we have these small financial reversals that are very large in the grand scheme as far as the redistribution of wealth, the massive hits to your 401k, and the Elon Musk's becoming trillionaires and they, them, and those, and all that stuff. And that transfer continues to happen. But one of the things that I brought up in the conversation is that we do know that there will be a major reversal in precious metals. And it'll be one of two things. It will be they really can control this stuff using their financial alchemy, right? And they will be able to make this very hard dip solidify. Or there'll be a really hard correction, and obviously it'll be very fast. And then the correction, it'll punch back through that and shoot the moon or whatever. And we were having this conversation last night. It's probably like 5:30. And I woke up this morning and I don't have the numbers on me, but I think silver was down at least $16 or so. So we had this massive ultra correction, which I was expecting. And what's interesting about this correction too, is that you can't participate in the opportunity. Because when these corrections happen, especially in precious metals, you know, you don't, unless you're in derivatives, right, which is where they want you to be, if you're not in the real thing, you don't get to participate. Because by the time this thing gets to some kind of equilibrium and the spread, like the market's just way too, the market for the buyer and the market for the seller is way too slow. You know, this was kind of one of the beefs with Bitcoin. Another rabbit trail side note, you know, we brought up the whole Bitcoin thing. And if Bitcoin was real, any kind of real store value or whatever you want to call it, monetarily, whatever, you know, we see this flight to gold and silver and we watch Bitcoin vacillate. And why in the world, if this was a real monetary solution, wouldn't there be a massive flight to Bitcoin? And there just hasn't been. And I know theoretically people can have lots of opinions and observations on that. But this was another reason why I was discussing silver, and our good friends, Chris and Stacy, the financial prepper, you know, I've always recommended them. If anybody's looking for gold and silver, to give Stacy a call. That's where I buy my silver. But I wasn't recommending buying any of it because that you have to develop your own financial philosophy and think about it and pray about it. There's lots of factors, right? And now I know that this has just gone full ramble, which is what I usually try to prevent. But we were just talking about this, and then now we're kind of watching it happen. It'll be very interesting. But I just wanted to speak to this whole idea of, it was basically two comments. One, this is a distraction. And two, the other comment was, well, you can't eat silver. And the entire point of my conversation is I made the point in my conversation yesterday with my buddy is, you know, I've always been a skeptic. Skepticism is good. Cynicism is deadly. And it's good to be skeptical, right? And we wait, when's the shoe going to drop? When's the thing going to happen? When's the maybe black swan event? Or where is the fiscal cliff? You know, when is this going to happen? When is the poop going to hit the prop? When is this next Great Depression going to happen? And I'm not saying it's not going to happen. What I am saying, the odds of it happening are incredibly high, like 99% high, very probable. You know, you have lots of people predicting, you know, Peter Schiff, you know, the end is nigh and this is going to happen. And it very well might. But the point I was making in my conversation is I've always been conservative, which is good. Slow to move. The tortoise wins, y'all. Slow, methodical, thoughtful. And we were coming into this new year and we were kind of like setting our goals, which we still haven't really fully done all the way. And I was talking to the boys and we were talking about a potential building project. And historically, I would always be much more conservative and weight and different things. And, you know, we were talking about building this Airbnb. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. We can wait for this impending doom, which we cannot stop. And especially in light of eschatology and revelation and different things. The revelation of Jesus Christ, by the way, not the revelation of the Antichrist, because now are there many Antichrists? And wow, there's never been a greater time in history where there have been many Antichrists. We are waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ at his second coming. And once again, I will highly encourage you to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ, because he's coming to judge the quick and the dead. And so if you're going to prepare for anything, repent and believe the gospel, you know, because we're not going to stop whatever's going to happen. And unfortunately for me, the dominionists aren't going to stop. They're not going to bring in the kingdom. And even though that Roe v. Wade has been overturned, like, it's not going to work like that. If that's your eschatology, I might be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. I think it's pretty obvious. Another rabbit trail. I'm sorry. But we were talking about this building project, and I'm like, we're just going to do it. You know, we've been very conservative. We have saved. We've waited on a lot of different things. And from a financial and a technical standpoint, property will, one, never not have value. And a rental property will, in this age of we will own nothing and be happy, a rental property will only have more value, because people cannot afford to buy anything or live anywhere. And the pessimists would say, yeah, well, they can't afford rent. So far, that's always kind of worked out. So we just decided to go for it. That's my whole point is, the point is you can plan and prepare and analyze, but at the end of the day, you just have to go for it. And back in 2014, when we made the decision to strategically relocate, there was a lot of things that were completely outside of our control, even to the point where you can't, you know, as much as we made the decision to do it, we kind of had to do it. And that, even though it seemed like a massive loss at the time, an incredible reboot and restart, that was such a incredible spiritual blessing for our family, physical blessing for our family. It ended up being a financial blessing for our family. And you can't lose sight of the opportunity. And if you have prepared, and if you have prayed, and if you have considered it and sought the Lord on it, at some point, you do have to go for it. You have to just do it. And you have to step out in faith, and you have to do it. And you cannot be paralyzed with fear. And you cannot be stuck in this, like, Stockholm syndrome. Like, you're, like, deep captured. And that's what's always weird with some of these comments I get, with like, you can't eat silver. So it's kind of like crapping on the idea that it makes sense to buy and hold silver forever or whatever. Because if you want a real store of value, well, you can't eat that. No, you can't, but you're a whole person, right? You go to work every day, you provide for your family, You plan for the future, and this is all part and parcel of that. It doesn't make you less of a Christian. You're fulfilling your mandate. Like, this is your responsibility. It's your responsibility to pay attention. It's your responsibility to be a watchman on the wall. It's your responsibility to bark. It's a father's responsibility to pay attention. It's a father's responsibility to provide. And when you don't, it's to your own condemnation. And it's just really weird when it's bizarre with a lot of these comments. You know, many comments I discount because they probably are bots and trolls and weird federal operations, which is absolutely exist. But when you know, when you get these weird comments from people that you are pretty sure are real, no one could ever be too sure, I guess. Even some people that I've literally met in real life, I'm still unsure if they're real or not. But anyway, I digress. I'm not going to go down another rabbit trail, y'all. This is a message of hope. We all need hope. And first and foremost, my hope is in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I am thankful that I am a new creature and that I have been redeemed. But as long as I'm here, I got to stay here until I go. And I've been given a command and a charge to watch. I've been given a command and a charge to work. I've been given a command and a charge to provide. And I have been given a command and charge to be a good steward of all things, of all our spiritual assets, of all of our earthly carnal assets. I am to be responsible and I am to take responsibility. And that's where the hope lies. The hope doesn't lie in what I do. The hope lies in faithfulness to God and what He has commanded us to do, and what I have experienced in the last 50 years of my life is that if I am faithful to God, He will be faithful to us. So we put Him first, but we don't develop this insane pharisaical idea that like everything is worldly and carnal, and so like you shouldn't save and you shouldn't like think ahead and you shouldn't plan ahead and you shouldn't like be a good steward of everything you have. I mean, even in the parables, he talks about like you should have given your money to the money changers. Like, I gave this to you to do something with it and you hid it. You didn't do anything with it. And that is, yes, our testimony, but that's quite literally everything. Like our life is a gift and we need to invest it. We need to invest it in other people and we need to invest our time, treasure, and our talents. And this is the hope. And the blessed hope is in the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. But until then, you got to stay here until you go. So get busy, get doing something. Don't get stuck in the doom scroll. Don't get stuck in the fear pornography. There's an inordinate amount of fear pornography. Especially, there's an inordinate amount on the left with all the, you know, especially with this crazy ICE stuff that's going on. But there's just as much on the right. Once again, you know, the right is basically the left without Kool-Aid pink hair. But I love y'all. I hope this made sense. I know it was kind of like a rant and a ramble. Leave the comments down below. Let's share some ideas and thoughts. And let's not trigger out or flame out or anything. And if you want to communicate over on the Fountain app, that's a great podcatcher to communicate back and forth. I love that platform. And we'll see you all in the next show.